think what's exciting about this panel are not only the great researchers that are going to come up here, but also the array of topics that'll be covered. So first, I'd like to start by mentioning that this talk is covered by the OHS section, the Occupational Health section. And if you are not already a member of this section, I highly recommend joining. So please come to me after the speakers to get more information. The format is going to be about each speaker will have 15 minutes to present the results, 1 minute for questions. But at the end of the session, there'll be some extra time, and we'll bring all of our presenters up to the stage here to answer any questions that might be lingering. So the first speaker who I'd like to introduce is Brad Evanoff, who is a professor of occupational and environmental medicine and assistant dean for clinical and translational research at Washington University in St. Louis. His work centers on the epidemiology and prevention of work-related injuries and musculoskeletal disorders and on the translation of these research findings into practice. So, welcome.
Thank you. So, although I'm the one who gets to talk to you today about our project on safety communication and fall prevention, I should acknowledge that it was really Vicky Cascudis who did most of the work, along with John Mormon, Linda Mueller, and Denny Patterson from our Carpenters Union in St. Louis, with Anne-Marie Dale and Hester Lipscomb providing important parts of the project as well. So I have no financial relationships. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So we all know that falls are a major cause of mortality and morbidity in construction, and they're particularly important in residential construction, where about two-thirds of fatalities are caused by falls from height, as well as a large proportion of serious injuries. And in residential construction, people fall from height in many different situations. Particularly dangerous are working along leading edges, like in the upper left, setting roof trusses, as in the upper right, working on roofs, as in the lower right, and then working on ladders or scaffolds, as in the lower left. So this, the genesis of this project was in a previous study we did looking at training among apprentice carpenters working, being trained in a union training school. And they found that training improved their fall safety knowledge as well as their safety behaviors, both self-reported and observed on the worksite. We found that when these trained young carpenters went out into the world, the safety practices that they learned were not reinforced or supported at many of the worksites. Residential construction is different than commercial construction in that it occurs in small, isolated work groups, often a foreman and a handful of workers, and often in small contractors who don't have the resources for safety personnel or a safety program. So we also know that discussing safety can improve safety behaviors and safety climate. And this was the genesis of a study to do an intervention to improve both fall safety knowledge and safety communication at the worksite. And subsequently, there have been several studies that have come out that have supported this idea, including one that showed that foremen rarely correct their crew's unsafe behaviors on work sites, and that interventions to improve foreman worker safety dialogue and safety monitoring can improve safety management. So this was a three-part project. Phase one was a comprehensive needs assessment, looking at the foreman's role in safety and how well they were discharging that. Data here were primarily surveys and focus groups. In phase two, we developed a training program and piloted it. And in phase three, we delivered the program and measured the effects. And I'll be showing you preliminary data from phase three here. We still have one wave of training left to do. So the development of the training was driven by the findings from our needs assessment, which showed frequent unsafe behaviors when working at heights, lack of knowledge by foremen about available fall prevention methods, tensions between safety and productivity, and a lot of variation in the frequency and quality of safety teaching and feedback by foremen, perhaps best characterized by one foreman's description of how he gave advice to his workers when they're doing something wrong. I remind them very loud and with a couple of extra verbs. probably some of them beginning with F. Based on this needs assessment, we developed training in collaboration with instructors at the Carpenters Joint Apprenticeship Program in St. Louis. I developed training objectives, manual, and lessons plan. And we attempted to use active hands-on teaching methods, which are preferred by this learning group, as much as possible. Right after we'd finished it and done the pilot wave, OSHA went and revised their fall protection standards, so we had to do it again. And then the data I'm showing you all occurs from the groups trained after the change in fall prevention standards. So the training consisted of an 8-hour initial training, followed by a single worksite refresher visit a month later. In the training, we shared with the foreman their baseline surveys and work safety audits from their own worksites to give them a sort of a snapshot of how they were doing. We demonstrated a number of fall prevention methods in a shop setting, shown in the photo, and we taught the foreman how to self-audit their own work sites to identify hazards, how to choose fall prevention methods that were specific to the site or type of construction they were doing, and the use of fall prevention plans. The communication part was perhaps the less or the more unusual part of this training, and here we tried to teach them how to assess their crew members' knowledge and skills, how to do a better job delivering site-specific toolbox talks, and how to mentor workers using positive feedback to change behavior. Fewer extra verbs. Okay, so I'm going to show you preliminary analysis here. Our measurements included a foreman survey, a crew member survey, and a worksite safety audit. So all these measures were done twice, pre-training at each worksite, and then post-training measures were done at 6, 12, and 24 weeks. So the unit of analysis here was the individual foreman. So we were studying whatever worksite he was on pre- and post-intervention, and whatever crew members he had with him pre- and post-intervention. So the crew members were sometimes rotating, sometimes the same, but the foreman data are all pre-post. We also had to deal with the collapse in the housing market, which caused a number of younger workers to get laid off and foremen to double up on some sites. So in some sites, we had a couple of foremen or even three foremen working as a crew with no non-foreman crew members. So that accounts for some of the difference in the numbers here between number of foremen and the number of worksite audits. Fortunately, the housing market is taking back off. Okay, so in this slide and the ones that follow, blue is pre-training, red is post-training, and then the darker shades are foremen, and the lighter shades are the crew members. So if we look at change in knowledge relative to standing on the exterior top plate on the left, we see that among the foremen, there's a pretty big jump in their knowledge from the pre- and post-surveys. And then among the crew right next to them, they start off at a lower knowledge level, but end up also seeing a large increase. And remember here, we're only training the foreman. So changes in knowledge that occur in the crew are related to dissemination or transfer of knowledge from the trained foreman to them passing that new knowledge onto their crew members. So smaller changes in knowledge about safety zone and knowledge of a fall prevention plan. So these are examples of knowledge changes. We saw striking changes in self-reported fall prevention behavior on work sites. So these are questions that ask about the usual behavior of the whole construction crew on that site. So on a number of specific behaviors, including use of a harness, not standing on the exterior top plate, availability of fall prevention equipment, and not standing on joists, we saw pretty striking changes in both the foreman and the crew members. It's interesting that the foreman have a bit rosier view of the prevalence of safe behaviors on their work sites than the crew members do, but everyone is agreeing that things have gotten a lot better as an average measure of behavior across their whole crew. We also saw improvements in toolbox talks, at least in the frequency, both reported by foremen and their crews, smaller changes in the use of active methods rather than passive methods for engaging their crew in toolbox talks. And then finally, we saw changes in reported informal feedback in discussions of safety and the giving of positive feedback. Still some work to do on that one. This is not the most touchy-feely. I think, actually, the most uncomfortable I've ever seen human beings was when we asked the foreman to do role-playing of positive feedback to their crew. So we're trying to work on that. So here are some findings from the fall safety audit. So we used a tool that we developed in the previous project called the St. Louis Audit of Fall Something. I'm having a senior moment here. Good acronym, though, the SAFER. This is the 52-item thing that was done by a carpenter research assistant coming out onto the site. So when we have a retired carpenter with a clipboard, the crews respond much better than they do to someone from the university with a clipboard. We saw smaller changes here. Most of the change was seen in the items that were specifically targeted by the training, which is joists, walls, and truss setting. And we could perhaps talk later about why this is a less sensitive indicator of change than are the self-reported behaviors. So our conclusions from this project were that our preliminary data, at least, has shown that training foreman and safety communication and fall prevention improved fall prevention knowledge and behaviors. There are a number of limitations to this. This is a pre-post study design, and the generalizability may be limited by the fact that this was all union workers, union contractors, and done in a single geographic region of the U.S. I think that the findings here have sort of reinforced our view that foremen are critical drivers of workplace safety, particularly at small contractors and in small work groups, and that foremen need to be trained if they're going to develop the specific knowledge, skills, and tools that they need to become good safety leaders. And then safety climate in terms of production demands needs to be addressed in order to change behaviors. So future directions we would like to see this going. We'd like to disseminate the foreman fall prevention and safety communication training in a web-based format, which would allow for greater scalability. This was fairly labor-intensive to deliver as small group in-person training, much, if not all, the training would be amenable to a web-based format. We're currently developing, with a small grant from CPWR, an online fall technology resource for residential contractors where they can do a one-stop shop for finding all the different technologies that have come out recently for preventing falls, and most of which are not widely used. Locally, we're trying to promote greater use of fall prevention technology through a tool, a loaning crib, where small and medium contractors can check out equipment, such as the hanging scaffold called a wall walker that's demonstrated in the lower left. So instead of standing on the top plate, which is the board that's about at waist level, they're standing down below the top plate on a secure footing, something that's 2 feet wide instead of 2 inches wide. And then Vicky Cascudas has been quite active in supporting the national campaign to prevent falls in construction, which is a joint OSHA-NIOSH CPWR effort that I think is doing a great job at trying to get the word out to this very difficult-to-reach workforce. And finally, I'd like to thank our partners, our funders, and then our research partners, particularly the Carpenters Joint Apprenticeship Program and the Carpenters District Council of Greater St. Louis and Vicinity. So thanks very much. David? Oh, there were two Davids. I saw David Rumpel first, but maybe we have time for you. Our foreman training program has now been adopted by the Carpenters Joint Apprenticeship Program as an offering for their mandatory annual training. So all the carpenters, the journeymen, have to get mandatory 8 hours of training per year. So they've taken it mostly unchanged and are offering that as a continuing education. So actually the drive towards web-based content is coming from the Carpenters Union. So they now cover Kansas, Missouri, and part of Illinois, and they are seeing the move to the web-based education as what they want to do in the future. So I think we'll see it convert to the web, but the content, not much change. I think we need to work on doing the touchy-feely bits to make these guys a little more comfortable with that. Is it David?
And I was wondering what you made of the impact on actual observed behaviors.
Right.
Whether you think that's a problem or that's a work in progress.
So it's a work in progress and it's a problem. So I think there are a couple reasons why I think we saw that. One is probably people say they're doing a better job than they actually are. The other, though, is that the audit is, it's really hard to get good data from because it's a single snapshot. So you go out to the site, and whatever they're doing at that point, you get a picture of. And so of those 50 or so work sites we looked at, we probably only saw roof joists going in on 3 or 4. So when we've looked at this in much larger samples in the other study, we had about 200 pre and post, we saw much more of a difference there and more concordance with the self-report. So we'll see. We have a little more data here on the penultimate wave and then a final wave to come, and we're hoping those will separate out a bit. But it's a pretty blunt tool when you're doing a single snapshot visit to a highly variable and daily changing construction environment.
Thank you.
Diego.